Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
This week, we tackle a big, juicy question. Are we shopping for love? And this particularly applies to online dating. And we've heard time and time again that modern dating just isn't working for some women. Back at the start of the year, we actually did a survey to single women, and we asked them what they thought of various different methods of dating. And there was a trend for online dating to appear quite low down in the rankings, and that actually it just didn't work for women. And there's serious flaws in online dating, but obviously we live in a world where we are more connected than ever, and that we can, technically, we can meet people much easier than ever before, and, yeah. and it's more accessible to us. But these dating sites, particularly Tinder, they are very transactional in their design, and they almost mimic how we make decisions about future partners in real life by their looks.
Yeah.
If you have a pretty face, then you're going to be successful in dating. But if you're not, then you're screwed.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the thing is with online dating, I think there are definitely pros and cons to it. I was definitely someone who thought, if I am ever reduced to having to find, and it was reduced to having to go online dating, this would be, the idea of it for such a long time filled me with dread. And I think there are pros and cons in this fast-paced way that most of us live in, and we're so busy with work and friends and family and things like that, it's becoming increasingly hard for people to meet one another. Back in the day, I remember speaking to an elderly couple who were brought up in Austria, and they said, well, in our day, every single week you go to the village hall and you meet all the young eligible people, and that is how you found your partner. Not only that, but you also had a cultural thing in common, you came from the same place, you had a lot of things, whereas now, and particularly in a place like London, you have it, you're lost in the sea of people. So I think online dating is useful because it can help you to sort of find other single people who are also looking for a relationship or just looking for sex. And 17% apparently of couples or married couples today met online. You're always, I was always hearing stories. Everyone had a story about a friend who had met their future husband or wife online. It's like, oh, for God's sake. But I had felt a real dread, not just a dread about online dating, but like a sense of like, God, if I really, this is my last ditch, sort of, this is what I've been reduced to. And we found when we did our research that loads of women, particularly in their 30s, felt the same about online dating. Either they'd done it and they'd hated it, or just the whole idea of it was so awful to them, they didn't even want to try it. And I think that I wouldn't blame online dating for us objectifying. And it's not just men objectifying women, it's women objectifying men as well, and seeing them as commodities and something to have, and as love is something to have. I think the art of loving is so fascinating in the way that Eric Fromm says it's because of our capitalist society that we've started to treat dating and relationships in a capitalist way, treating one another like commodities. I think online dating has grown out of that. I think it also perpetuates it, makes it even more so. But ultimately, online dating is about going and having a look at, these are the attributes I want out of a partner, because that's what you have to do with online dating. Yeah. And so it is writing a list of, right, I would like someone who looks like this, who is of this age, who has a degree, doesn't have a degree, lives in this part of London or lives out of London. You know, it's all... And the thing is, really, you might say because of technology, that's the only way it can be, but you could equally have... videos, I suppose, of someone chatting and talking, but I mean, I don't know if anyone would want to do that. I think I'd be even more horrified at the idea of doing that. But you're also, when you're filling out an online profile, you are marketing and selling yourself. You know, I mean, I've been doing it for years in terms of for business, selling myself and my services, but having to do that on an online dating profile, selling myself as a person, just felt... Oh, it's hard. And then of course you're going on dates, and that vibe, I took that vibe with me of feeling like I was being reviewed basically, and judged, and not the word isn't validated, but you know, someone was basically, you know, checking me out as whether I was worth pursuing or not, and vice versa, rather than just two human beings spending time together and seeing if there is an attraction, if there is a connection.
Yeah, because it is all about chemistry and connections, and you can't tell who you're going to have a connection with through an online dating profile. What you can do is just start designing experiments where you just start going for different types of people and just start having coffees. It doesn't need to be a full-on date, like full-on dinner, because it can be quite daunting when you think, oh God, what if I don't, you know, what if I know within the first 10 seconds
I know
that I'm just not gonna, you know, we're not gonna click. and then you think, oh God, I've got
a theatre show and a whole dinner day afterwards to go through. It's like, it's painful.
Yeah. But what you can do is just start meeting people for coffees, like just for a quick 20 minutes just to say hi. I guess it's kind of borrowing the speed dating and philosophy, where it's just like, we know that it takes very little to know if you've got a connection with someone, and actually start doing it by your own rules. So start designing your own experiments and go out there and actually, what we found is that the people that you think you're going to have a connection with, you're going to click with, you end up surprising yourself. You start looking back at how you imagined who you'd be with, and you think, oh, you're completely different to who I imagined I'd be with for the better. But we don't know that until we start really going out there and start meeting with different people, you know, being really open-minded. And even if, you know, the idea of going out with, say, a scientist or a banker or whoever is the antithesis of your type, if you go out there and try it and it doesn't work, then, you know, it's just a coffee. There's nothing to lose. But I think there's something quite playful and quite fun about that. And what we've found is that online dating isn't fun at the moment, Ed, but I think there's ways to make it fun and use it to its strengths.
I think, yeah, exactly. I think when I had the idea that online dating was the way that I was, the only way that I was going to ultimately meet someone that I could really have a fulfilling relationship with, it felt so heavy with significance and also just incredibly painful, because each date, is this going to be the one? And so when I stopped that and I just went, do you know what, I don't think I'm going to meet the man of my dreams online dating, but I need to practice dating people, because I had such a phobia about dating, because the way I viewed it was so kind of about judging one another, and was like going on a work interview basically. When I started approaching it, like, look, I'm just going to use it to practice dating, getting comfortable with dating, getting comfortable with being nervous, because that was my biggest barrier, is the fact that I was almost passing out with nerves going on the date. It was like cringing, the kind of, and you know, and ultimately it's a very vulnerable thing to do, dating, and you have to remember that the guy that you're going on a date with is feeling equally as cringy, equally as vulnerable, and it's just like, okay, well, let's just, you know, accept the fact that this is kind of nerve-wracking stuff and do it anyway. Yeah. And the more I did it, the more I realized that actually, you know what, there are some really lovely guys out there. At one point I was like, you know, none of them are people that I want to have relationships with, but it helped me to start to recognize that there are some great guys out there who really are looking for a genuine, fulfilling relationship. And it helped me to get relaxed into the whole process of going on a date with someone and being able to step into it in a relaxed way and just turn up as myself, and to notice the ways, you know, and each time I went on a date, and particularly when I'd started my own Project Love journey, so I was very much consciously going through these processes. So each time I went on a date, I would be kind of reporting back to you, Vicky, and saying, you know, this time I felt a little bit less nervous, or observed this time that actually when I just relaxed, I was myself. Or, you know, all sorts of things, and also recognizing what I realized, I got clearer and clearer in terms of what I really wanted for a relationship.
Yeah.
And I also really went into it, this is off the recommendation of a friend of mine who ended up marrying someone she would never ever have imagined herself being with. I went in with the attitude of being open to being surprised at who I could be attracted to.
Yeah.
I had a whole list of criteria. It was very much a shopping list, and very much not a DJ, not creative, must have a beard. It's like really ridiculous stuff, but I think so many of us, and the older we get, I think so many of us do have those lists, and you always do this. You always say this to people, Vicky, don't you? It's like, right, write out all the things that you want.
Yeah.
And that tear up.
Yeah.
Because what do you tend to find people when they're writing a list of what they would, you know, what they want? Do you find that people at first are writing what's essentially a shopping list?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that list comes from, I think it wants to protect us from getting hurt ultimately. So when you say your list had no creative, it's probably because you had an experience with creative guys in the past and you've thought, well, that didn't go very well, so I'm going to rule out that particular criteria. So we have these, you know, I don't want this and I want more of that and I want less of this. And I think it does inform a particular mould where you think, right, well, almost quite scientifically, well, the chances are that I'm going to find someone that I'm going to have more of a connection with, because in the past it didn't work when they were like this, or it didn't work when they were like that. But it really limits us, and we're already limited. Our brain can only take in 7 pieces of information at any one time, plus or minus 2. So what we do is we delete, distort and generalize to make sense of the world and to make sense of the information that we're given. So a lot of our experience, there's so much missing, and that's why the memory can be so fallible. And it's been proven time and time again with things like eyewitness testimony and chronology and things like that. So we don't actually see the whole picture. We pay attention to what we want to pay attention to. So if we are limiting ourselves by this criteria, then we're not seeing, we're literally not even paying attention to all of the other people out there that may be great for us, but they just, because they didn't have a beard, we didn't see them, or whatever it is that we've got in our head. Because if we constantly tell our brain to look out for those people, we miss a huge heap of other people that might be really good for us.
Yeah.
And one thing I say to clients is to first of all, to write the list, and then, you know, often it's the shopping list, so okay, we'll rip that one up and we'll start a new list. And this list is saying how I want to feel in a relationship. So if I want to feel, I want to laugh, I want to have fun, I want to feel cared for, I want to feel supported, all of those things, write those down. They're a lot richer, and it's not so strict, and we open ourselves up to new experiences. Because if we're on a date where the guy doesn't look how our ideal guy would look, but you know what, I had a great time, like, he's really making me laugh, and he made me feel a certain way, and that's very telling. But I think some people can miss those opportunities because they judge them too harshly.
And it's so limiting, that, and it's making so many assumptions about yourself. It's that, it's the mistake that we make, thinking we really know what we need and we know who we are. Our true nature is so full of possibility, it's so expansive. So to even think that you know what you actually need, I think is an incredibly limiting attitude to have. And the Project Love way, like you say, is to go, how do you want to feel? How do you love to feel in a relationship? And then rather than going out and finding the man that will go and give you that, is actually to cultivate those feelings within yourself and to give yourself the respect, the love, the support, the caring that you're wanting someone else to give you.
Yeah.
And when that's really flourishing, then people who match that, you know, like attracts like, will quite easily start turning up, because that's the, you know, you're both kind of on the same vibe. So it's great. So it's exciting because it's such a different way of going about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and as someone who went from shopping, very much shopping for love, to someone who shifted to, okay, how do I want to feel? Cultivating that and then allowing whoever match that to turn up, making no assumptions of what they should look like, what they should do as a career, you know, where they're from, how they should speak, or any of those things, bearded or not bearded. It really opened things up. Yeah. Stop shopping for love and use online dating to experiment, I think, definitely.
Yeah.
But that said, there are loads of other ways as well to meet people.
So many other ways to meet people beyond online dating, and we're going to revisit that in a future podcast.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast show. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you're feeling stuck in your love life and finding dating to be frustrating and exhausting, then come and join Get Ready for Love, our 30-day online course to transform your love life.
As well as having us, Selena and Vicky, as your co-pilots throughout your journey, bringing you a lesson every day and videos and audio tutorials bursting with energy and love, you'll also be welcomed into our private Facebook group, The Love Zone, where you can hang out with like-minded women and ask for help and guidance whenever you need it.
It really is gorgeous in there. Head over to loveprojectlove.com/get-ready-for-love to sign up.
And if you'd like to find out more about love coaching with me, Vicky, then head to Coaching and Courses over on loveprojectlove.com.